lickety-split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat, lickety-split.
Lickety-split Weeder.
Dan Weeder.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Weeder said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Got a better chance of getting a pony for Christmas next year.
One of these years, by the way, I'm going to get you a pony for Christmas just so that you can up that probability.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Really did a good job following the board, kind of letting it talk to us.
I mean, sometimes the board says things to you that you weren't expecting it to say. You know, it's kind of like a wife. And so, like, you got to listen to what it says and then follow its orders.
Dan Weederer.
Dan Weederer. Go ahead, Dan.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We got to find out what's going on in camp. So why don't we talk with our buddy Dan Weederer, who joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Weedsy, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. The last couple of practices, from what we see from you guys' reporting, feel like they have taken a step up in intensity.
Huh.
Would you say that is a correct interpretation of what's happened since Sunday?
Tuesday was that way, for sure. This has been an interesting week because you came off the family fest, and then they did a little beach field trip on Monday, and then they came back on Tuesday with that whole gladiator practice that they had at House Hall. And today was shorter, not nearly as intense, and I think it was just kind of a runway to what they're going to experience tomorrow with the Dolphins in town, which I think we're all looking forward to because there'll be a little bit of competitive feistiness to that for sure.
So update us on the injuries today as best you know. It's great to talk to you, Dan. Let us know what happened and what kind of clarity you have, because what, three different people or four even today?
That left?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyler Gordon was one that did not finish practice. It seemed like Darnell Wright did not finish practice, and so we're going to have to get updates on them tomorrow morning from Ben Johnson. Amagaji was not out there to start the practice, so that left tackle battle has seemingly turned into a little bit of a two-man race. Roshan Johnson not out there today. Starting to get a little bit of the tolls of 3 weeks of practices adding up there on the injury front, but they're okay in the grand scheme of things. And now you just got to figure out what you want to do here over these next couple weeks with all the opportunities here to be competitive with other teams. And I'm really interested to see kind of how Ben articulates his philosophy and maybe has it change a little bit as the weeks go on.
Okay, your Take the North partner, Mark Grody, was just absolutely in a panic today in the middays about the, he needs you. He needs you to stay level. By the way, Rashawn Slater was carted off for the Chargers earlier today. A torn patellar tendon.
Awful.
Just signed the biggest deal ever for an offensive lineman and now out for the year. So it's terrifying to think of how these things can happen in the second week of August or even the first week of August.
Yeah, I was just going to say, August can be a terrifying month. You know, you don't know what's waiting for you and you just kind of hold your breath and try to get through it. I think tomorrow is the 1 month out from the first game date, which is huge for all of us because I think the internet in particular, social media, is losing its mind trying to follow training camp on a daily basis. And I can't wait until we have actual games with actual meaning to interpret together.
Dan, how do they value joint practices?
Yeah, look, like this has become a trend league-wide, Lawrence. And Ben really sees this, as many coaches do, to really get some controlled, scripted, design, situational work at a very heightened competitive level where you can test a lot of things out in an environment that you can control with the other coach. And you can just really use those now as glorified preseason games and not have to worry about those three exhibition games as dress rehearsals as much. And so, again, it's going to be really interesting to see what they decide to do with the starters in the preseason games, but they're going to get these opportunities the next two Fridays against the Dolphins and the Bills to get a lot of work in. And then this is one of these things where there has to be a mindset change in the audience where it's like, just because it's not occurring on your TV doesn't mean it's not happening, you know? And so the work that they're going to get done in these competitive practices against the Dolphins and Bills is going to be huge. And they're going to be able to make strides and learn a lot more about themselves and then use that information to ready themselves for week one, which is, again, 1 month out.
So, but that's the thing, like, and we've kind of grasped it over the last couple years, the joint practice with the controlled atmosphere where they can dictate situations, they value it a lot more. Like, they can learn a lot more there than they can learn in the happenstance of a preseason game.
Right, because you can control what exactly what situations you're putting your team in. It doesn't require game flow, and then you just limit the risk, you know, where you're not doing the live tackling that you do in a preseason game. 2 years ago down in Indianapolis, there was some intensity in there. They did those for 2 days there, and these are going to be a pair of 1 day practices. But that felt like what joint practices should be like a couple years ago. And so we'll see kind of how they're structured tomorrow, what Ben and Mike McDaniel agree on. And I know Big Z and I are already dividing up which fields we're going to be watching so we can catch all of it and not be looking at the same thing.
Yeah, did I hear this right when I was up there? When you guys were in Indy, weren't you guys like in the middle of the practice?
Well, there were the practice fields were like kind of head to toe there, you know, so they were stacked that way instead of side by side. And so it made it almost impossible to see both fields. And so that, you know, that like then you got to choose and then you hear a roar from the field that you're not on and you're like, what did I just miss? You know, and so you're just kind of scrambling here at, you know, House Hall in those backfields. They'll be side by side. We'll be in the bleachers beyond the north end zone there trying to keep our eyes on things. And then you just got to divide and conquer and figure out who's going to watch the quarterback and who's going to watch the defense.
We had a conversation at the start of the show, Dan, about how we don't think, at least I don't think, that this town is really prepared for what this process is going to be of the installation of an offense and the education of a quarterback who did not really get an education properly last year, and how there are going to be ups and there are going to be downs, and yeah, it's going to take a while. And like, I am very optimistic about Caleb and what can happen, but I know that optimism is going to be tested. It's going to be greatly tested in coming weeks. It's where's your confidence level in your readership to grasp everything and be patient?
Which readership? The ones that read the Tribune or the ones that follow on social media? Because I think it's two different sort of platforms there that create different levels of reaction. But to your point, Speaks, I think this is going to be incredibly patience testing for everyone involved. That's Caleb. That's Ben. That's a fan base who understandably has no patience left, right? Like, they've been forced to sit through some miserable, miserable occurrences with their football team and their quarterbacks for far too long. And so they don't have an abundance of patience, and this process is going to require it. And so the ability of this staff to not only be patient inside the building, but to also create that filter for the noise that comes from the outside is going to be fascinating, because it's going to be loud. And if it's this loud in the first week of August about throws at a net, how loud is it going to be if they lay a stinker against Brian Flores on Monday Night Football in week one? If they go to Detroit and they stumble a little bit in a second consecutive division game against the Lions? And look, like, even Caleb will tell you, look, like, it is hard to be patient. It is hard to be process driven as opposed to results driven at this stage, but that's required right now with what they're trying to do. And I give Ben a lot of credit for, one, throwing everybody in the deep end and trying to figure this thing out. And then one of the reasons they brought him here is because they believe he's got the leadership skill and the emotional intelligence to recalibrate, you know, as you get closer to the regular season and be very cognizant of what you are and what you aren't, and to go into games understanding what you are and what you aren't.
Okay, so for you, the job is difficult because of what some people might react to of you watching it, but I'm curious about your process. Like, what's the rubric for you when you're judging if Caleb has a good day or a bad day with this practice, with the context of all the new stuff that he's learning?
Well, and I'll be very honest with you, because we are now 13 practices in, and I would emphatically say that there has not been an impressive practice from the quarterback yet. There just hasn't been. And so you can do with that information what you want to. They've got a month. They've got a chance to refine things. They've got a chance to continue growing. I think what Ben has told you repeatedly is that, look, like, we've had to break this down to the very basics in terms of how are we handling the operation, you know? And so some days it's like, does the operation look fluid? Does it look clean? Are there, you know, a lack of delay of game penalties? Are there a lack of false starts? Is there a lack of, you know, sloppiness with the motions and the shifts? And does it just look cleaner? They're going to build up to the point where they can turn their quarterback loose to make a lot of plays. But there's a lot to this. And, you know, I had a conversation with Ben the other day. He told us in the spring about passing EPA and how that's the metric that has become his target, right? And one of the things that you really need to enhance that metric is to be able to throw balls with pinpoint precision so that a 6 yard gain can become a 35 yard gain because you're hitting your receiver in stride in space. And then that thing goes the distance. And to this point in camp, it's been really sloppy for a lot of reasons. We know what the fallback reasons are, but there's been sloppiness from the quarterback that is not going to be acceptable a month from now. And so you just have to have that in the back of your head as you watch Caleb go through this process and figure out how he kind of resets himself each day and each week with everything that's coming at him.
So, I mean, it's interesting because if you're going to, you know, to use Lawrence's word, the rubric, if you're going to use like a good practice, you know, so are you going to look at good games? Like what if, how will people be able to stay optimistic if they see the badness? You know what I mean? Like what there's got to be other ways to figure it out. Like I listen to him talk and I hear, all right, dude's got an understanding and he knows what he doesn't know yet. And he seems to have a humility of this process for me to like feel like, all right, there's a grasp that's going on here. When I hear him, he sounds better and different to me than he did last year. Like he understands what he doesn't know, at least to me. Do you hear any of that kind of stuff?
He has to stay wedded to the commitment level, right? And this is what I tell people all the time. It's one thing to work hard. Caleb works hard. He's a hard worker. He's got a work ethic. It's another thing to work as hard as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL has to work. And so there's a commitment level to that every single day emotionally that comes into things where you have to be just locked in on every single thing that they're asking of you if you want to make this ascent. And so that's what we're going to have to kind of measure Caleb on when we get going. When the lights turn on in September, there's no turning back. You know, the badness will occur, but you got to be able to navigate that. And you've got to be able to pull out your special skills when they're needed, but you also have to be able to understand what the coaching staff is asking of you. What I think Ben is doing a good job communicating right now is, look, this is not on your shoulders, right? Like we've got playmakers, distribute the ball, play point guard, get them the ball, let them make plays. Me as a play caller will set you up for advantageous situations that will help your completion percentage and help you get in a rhythm and a flow. And then several times a game, we're going to need you to be the best player on the football field. You're going to have to lead a 2-minute drive at the end of the half. The game's going to be on the line in the fourth quarter, and we're going to need you to win it for us. Those are the moments where you're going to have to rise up, but you're also going to have to just be very, very committed to the little things within every game that just create the momentum for the entire team. And sometimes that's just knowing when not to take a sack. Sometimes it's knowing when to hit the check down in the flat. It's knowing how to make plays and just to keep everything flowing in the right direction. And it's hard, man. Like this position is really hard. That's why there's been so much failure here and elsewhere in the league. And so like, just understand the degree of difficulty going into this month and into next month and into October. And then hopefully we can see gradual growth from Caleb.
It's hard to get assessments on left tackle when you're having two guys rotate in and it's practice and it's not games. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're looking for from that spot? And has that position changed and morphed in offensive football over the last 10 years?
Ben keeps sort of being very emphatic about, hey, look, like step one, be able to be a reliable pass protector. You know, like that is going to be the thing that he wants most out of whoever he chooses to start at left tackle. And so, you know, you got two different guys there. You know, like Tripillo's a mountain of a man, right? And he also understands that being a mountain of a man, you can get out leveraged at times because you're so tall. You know, at 6'8", you can't always get your pads to where they need to go to stay on a block. And so he's going to have to figure that out and continue to be the pro that they've described since April as a guy that can just lock in, take what he's learning in the classroom and apply it to the field, and take what he's learning from the field and apply it to the meeting room and go from there. And then with Braxton, you're just trying to see if it's all still there. You know, he's come back pretty well from the ankle injury. He's looked pretty good in this camp. He's surpassed my expectations for where I thought he would be at this stage. But you want to see him take a step in his development, because right now he's a functional left tackle. And if you're trying to win championships, you're going to need more than functional at that position, and so they're going to have to keep pushing him to make growth.
Dan, what are your thoughts on the camp so far and the trust level from Ben for Kyle Manungai, running back Rutgers?
Seems like it's growing. I mean, they're giving him opportunity, and some of the things you heard about him coming out of the draft was just how reliable he's going to be as a, you know, a coachable guy who does the right things. And so this is where the distribution of playing time here in these preseason games is going to be interesting, because somebody's got to play, you know, and like you want to start to see some of these guys in real live game situations to measure what they're made of and how it functions at this level. Manunga would be a guy I would love to see, you know, over the next three games and just see what he brings to the table and what it looks like. And can he kind of become a bigger part of the offense here behind DeAndre Swift?
I've just been making the point, and I'm now the bad guy, but I've been making the point that seventh round running backs often get cut. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's as much as we like Kyle Manungai.
I'm excited about him, Lawrence.
It's okay for you to be excited about
him.
All I'm saying is that if he gets cut and then re-signed to the team or to the practice squad, don't be surprised. That's all I'm saying.
No doubt. And I hear you on that. Like, you know, there are waves of all these things where, like, sometimes the profile of a guy just gets blown out of proportion so quickly and people start crowning guys that don't need to be crowned. But with a guy like this, like, his key to being on the 53-man roster is showing that he can be a reliable factor on special teams, you know? And so that's one of these weird August, you know, microscopes that we've got to turn on and figure out who are these guys that Richard Hightower is trusting to be part of his core, and can Manungai find a role there that then allows him to factor into the 53 discussion?
Hey, man, that's why the Lord invented Travis Homer. You know what I mean? I mean, that's
exactly right. Yeah, right. Like
that's what he's here for. Do you think Roschon Johnson has the explosion to be a running back in Ben Johnson's system? And I don't mean like explosion outside. I mean explosion even inside on short burst runs.
Haven't seen it yet. You know, and so you want to see more from him and look like they're going to need some of that pop in the running game. And they're going to need guys that can give you, like, that's where this all starts for Ben. Like, Ben wants to be a hard ground-based offense that can turn loose play action and then let the quarterback be special. And so you're going to have a good complementary group there that can do some things for you, and it's still coming together. And, you know, again, running games are really hard to judge in July and August because you're not doing anything that resembles real football on a lot of days, and so you're going to have to figure that out here in the coming weeks.
Last week when I was up there listening to Ben talk about, well, you know, there's a scenario where Jalen Johnson could be available in week one, that sent me a little bit, Dan. I was sitting there going, oh, so we're now to the sliding doors part of the Jalen Johnson stuff. Has there been anything said since then about where he's at and what's going on?
No, and that, you know, that caught my ears as well. It was like, whoa, hold on a second. This is, you know, one of your Pro Bowl performers on defense, and you don't know if he's going to be ready for such a big stage game in September. I'll take you behind the curtain the other day, because they went to the beach on Monday and I was still at Hell's Hall when the buses came back. I saw Jalen get off the bus. It was the first time I had laid eyes on Jalen since the spring, and he didn't have anything on his leg. He didn't seem to be walking with a hobble. And it was one of those first eye test moments for me where I was like, okay, this doesn't look horrible. He's not in a boot. He doesn't have he's not driving around in a Rascal scooter here to get around Hell's Hall. So who knows? We need to get a little bit more update on that. But the fact that he hasn't been anywhere near the practice field yet, you know, you guys know how hard it is to get ready conditioning wise and physically to play regular season NFL football. And they've got to take him down that path here, hopefully sooner rather than later, because you don't want this to last into October and us be asking whatever happened to Jalen.
Dan, who's a rookie who you've turned to somebody next to you and said, man, that dude can play. That guy's going to make an impact here.
Well, I honestly, I've loved what I've seen from Trapillo to this point. He's got upside, and this is where you as a coaching staff and probably as a front office have to make some decisions. And what's the calculus of, like, how much you're playing for the future versus how much you're playing for the now? And how do you balance that when you've got a guy that you see has the potential to develop into something as a reliable starter? And how do you live with some of the, you know, the hiccups that are going to be there when he's a rookie making some mistakes? And so, loved what I've seen from him. Like Burton, if you guys have watched him, when the ball is in his hands, you understand why he is who he is, like electric playmaker. The question is just how wedded he can be to all the details that Ben's calling for with alignments and understanding the plays and being where he's supposed to be and being able to practice, you know, day after day after day, week after week after week for an entire season. And so he'll answer those questions as we come, but there's no question that the talent level is eye-catching. And so, you know, again, this preseason should give him an opportunity to get out there and show a flash or two.
Weedsy, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys, we'll talk soon.